Praise God. Hope Church. I'm Alison. Some of you might know me because I help out on the Yellow Group, and I'm part of Rothwell Life Group. Rothwell! Praise God. I'm not usually a person that stands out the front. Praise God. I'm a person that has a real passion for people. And I've worked with a few people in the church, on the choir, just helping them to become the people who God always designed them to be. That's my greatest passion. My greatest passion, that each one of you here, a unique individual that God has designed, and before the foundation of the world, He designed you for a special calling, a special ministry. And that is my greatest heart, is to help you flourish and become who He always planned you to be. But today, praise God, I've come and to bring a word from Ephesians. Now, I've been having a great time hearing all the teaching from Ephesians. I do have a bit of a passion for the word. I have a passion for worship. I have a passion for prayer, and I have a passion for people. And Ephesians has just been absolutely great, and I've loved all the different people bringing a different flavour to Ephesians. And today we're going to be looking at Ephesians 4:32, and it is, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. Praise God. And we're going to start off very gently. Have we got any nurses in the house, by the way? Have we got any nurses in the house? Yeah, we've got some nurses in the house. Nurses are great. They do a great job. I had to go this week and have my blood taken. And they're always very gentle. So I'm going to start you off with a nice, gentle little video. And they get me to put, they say, Mrs. Shepherd, put your arm out here. They're so gentle and kind. And they say to me, it's only going to be a little scratch. Ouch. I just pray God help you prepare your hearts. We'll start you off with a nice video. That's where they lay my hand on the pillow. And then you will feel a small scratch, a slight ouch for the rest of the service. So, here we go. Wow, do you know how many videos I've watched on kindness? I have spent weeks trawling through, crying over all these acts of kindness to find this one. And it was a hard decision. And I really felt that God wanted me to choose this particular one because He Himself showed us His greatest kindness. And He extended that towards us. And you know, while I've been in Hope Church, I have met some really kind, loving people. And you know, that kindness, I don't know about you, but you know when somebody does you a kindness, you feel it creates a warm feeling inside of you. You feel a value. You feel that somebody has thought of you. And I've been through a hard few years, and God's extended His hand of kindness in things that He has done for me and through people. And I am so grateful that I really felt like I wanted to be like the man in the queue, that because of Christ's kindness, I want to extend my kindness to other people. Now, there was a slight problem. There always is. There always is a slight problem. And I was always quite good at being kind to people that I liked, and kind to my friends, and kind to the people that see things the way I see things, and kind to the people that do things the way I do things. And I realized that I was slightly challenged and find it difficult for people who weren't like that. And so I wanted to challenge you today about, how do you feel about being kind to people who don't agree with you, that are different to you, that have hygiene issues, that are rude and bad-mannered to you, and the ones that always take and never give. Do we pass them by? Are we kind to them? That was a big challenge for me when God spoke to me about my heart, about how easy I found it to be kind to what I call the nice people. But what about those people that I didn't see as nice? You know, it reminded me of the story of the Good Samaritan and how the man was there injured, busted up and broken. And how we look at that, and if anybody was to fall down in here, I'm sure we would all rush to help them and pick them up and set them on their way. But we pass hurting, broken people all the time. We pass hurting, broken people in our church, in the canteen, in the streets, in our workplace. And what are some of the things that go through your minds, will have gone through mind? Anything I share today, trust me, I will have journeyed through and travelled through. And these are some of the things that go through our heads. It's not my responsibility. Well, I can't do everything, can I? I mean, there's only one of me. It's not my ministry. I don't want to get involved. Oh, it's really complex. It's really complex. I can't fix that. Yeah, but they really pong. But they're really boring. I mean, every time they speak to me, they're just so boring. They're not my type of people. They have issues on their issues. Are we kind to them? And God challenged me. He always challenges me before I teach anything. Always. And these last few weeks, I can't tell you how difficult it's been. I said to him, I cannot get up there and teach because I must have had every challenge going to be kind to people. And in Luke, it says, and just as you want men to do to you, also do likewise. You know, we are an imperfect people. We have issues on our issues. We are imperfect. Do we want people to show us kindness? I know I do. And so I said to God, so where's the problem then? Where's the problem with me? Because God tells us in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Oh, I don't like that word, but it's in there. We were talking about tearing pages out of the Bible the other day. But God says, don't add anything, don't take anything away. Long-suffering. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When I read that scripture, I don't know about you, I just want to lay on the floor and die. Because I know my life does not match up to that. Same with Corinthians 13. I know. And I say, so, do I not have the fruit of the Spirit? Do I not have, I get really hard on myself. Maybe you get hard on yourself. I say, do I not have Jesus in me because I've not got that fruit? Now, for any of you that know me, I have also a passion for gardening. I think that's why I have a passion for people, because I like to nurture things. I like to plant the seed, nurture things until they flourish, flower, or give fruit. I have got a giant blueberry bush that I've had to bring inside to my house because the blackbirds want to nick my fruit off my blueberry. That's not in the scriptures, that's just me. And it makes me happy. So my greatest desire for Hope Church, that I'm just a little bod that sits up there and helps out, is to see you grow, be nurtured and flourish, that you will bloom, that you will bear fruit. And God said, by your fruits, you will know them. that the people in the world will know you because you'll be different, set apart. Because a good tree bears good fruit and a bad tree, bad fruits. And you know, no act of kindness, no matter how small, is wasted. That's what Aesop said. And kindness makes us feel valued. So just imagine if we go and take that kindness out into the world. You know, it says, let nothing, in Philippians, let nothing be done through selfish ambition, but in lowliness of mind, let us esteem others better than ourselves. You know, Grace Turner came a little while ago, and she stood at the front and she said, I want to bless others more than I want to be blessed myself. I thought, oh, you see, I just spend my whole half just feeling half dead. I thought, oh my gosh, I don't feel like that. That's the truth. I don't feel like that. I want to be blessed. And she said, she wanted to just pray blessing on people that they would be more blessed than she would be blessed. Let us esteem others, value them, reverence, honor, treasure them. I thought, man, I ain't got it in me. I just haven't got that in me. But Christ has that in him. We'll come back to this. You know I like to collect ingredients, don't I? And then I'll bring it all back together in just a short while. So God was speaking to my heart. And there we saw in that film there, an act of kindness. But do you see, you know, Sheila spoke last week about sowing and reaping. When we sow into the kingdom of God, when we sow into our own body, you're my body parts. When I sow into you, I'm sowing into myself. I'm sowing into the kingdom. Because it says that we're living stones being built up into a spiritual house. All of us joined together, linked together. So when we're kind to one another, that affects my life. When we're kind to one another. You know, God says in Chronicles, touch not mine anointed. You know, sometimes I wonder, how is it that I can be kind and I can be unkind in the same week or even the same day? How is that even possible? And we're just going to look at a scripture from James. It says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So, you know, every time I read God's word, sometimes I don't want to get into God's word because I know it's going to address issues from the heart, issues of my heart. But I know it's healthy for me, it's good for me. You know, I have this, as I said, I like growing things, and I have this apple tree in the garden. And this apple tree was old, manky, broken down. We were going to dig it up. It was no good. And so I was having a bad day one day, and I get the loppers. When I'm having a bad day and people challenge me, I get the loppers. And if anybody's got a pair of loppers, they are excellent. And so I thought I'd lop this apple tree. And there was a particular branch that came out from this apple tree. Everything was quite rounded, but there's this one branch just going in a direction that was just totally out of the way to anything else. And when I start hitting my head on it, you know it needs to be cut back because I'm the shortest. And so I gave it a major haircut because we were going to dig up that dead tree. And winter came and gone, and it's like, oh, we forgot to dig up the tree. But do you know what happened? We gave that tree, someone was like horrified, oh my gosh, what have you done to the tree? The next year, it brought forth the most amazing fruit. And so that tree still stands in our garden. They're this really nice, sweet Cox's Orange Pippin. They're lovely. And God wants to regularly trim us, trim out that dead wood so that we can be healthy. So when I get into God's word and he wants me to address matters of the heart, it's because he wants to cut out that dead wood so I can bear forth good fruit. You know, sometimes you would know, and we do bring forth unkindness out of the same mouth that brings forth kindness, and out of that same heart. You know, as I mentioned, Chronicles, God said, touch not mine anointed. Anointed one means chosen one. And all in here, we are chosen ones. And God is saying to us to touch not his anointed with unkindness. Be kind and tender-hearted. Tender-hearted, having understanding, bearing with, having compassion, having that empathy. You know, in our hearts, and this is the problem, it's to do with our heart. God showed me that had some pride in there. You know, that some of these things I'm going to be listing as what my husband calls Christian sins. But they're not. It's not scriptural. I just want to tell you, it's not in the Bible. That isn't in the Bible. Pride, envy, jealousy of somebody else's ministry, arguing, strife and contention, hatred, gossiping. You know, it talks about us dying to self. Well, seriously, when God showed me my heart, I felt like I was going to die. And probably this apple tree felt like it was going to die when I took the loppers to it. But actually, that's what brought it back to life. And I just want to show you something, a little demonstration. You know, these things that we have in our heart, these things that I had in my heart, how on earth do I get rid of all that junk and rubbish? Because I would come before the Lord and I would repent. I'd say to God, I hated it. I hated being unkind. I hated things that were hurtful that I said to others. I hate that. So I said, well, how do I change that? How do I get rid of that? I want to show you this amazing thing that God showed me. My husband, he makes elderflower cordial. It's non-alcoholic. It's really good if you have hay fever. It contains natural antihistamines, so you don't need to take or pop all those tablets. Take a glass of that a day, and it gets rid of your hay fever symptoms. Because, you know, we always said it's used with the flowers from the elderflower. You never heard a bee sneeze, have you? Wait till you see this. This is so cool. If you've ever come to my house, you will have tasted it. If you haven't, you're welcome to come. Right. What's in my bag? This is how I show the kids. Right. Now, you take water, just ordinary, pure water, just pure clean water. You can take it from the tap if you like. So he fills that right up. He adds a bit of sugar, a bit of lemon. He makes it better than this, and he doesn't drop it on the floor. Right, but this is the secret. He goes out, they don't look too good now. He goes out into the wilderness, and he finds elderflowers. They don't look too good now, but trust me. They are beautiful, white, fragrant flowers. And these fragrant flowers change that which was once water into this fragrant, delicious drink that is healthy for you. Because what happens is, each day, he has to stir it round. And it's left in the fridge for about 3 days. And the water, after it has come in contact with these fragrant flowers, is never to be the same again. It will never, ever go back to being plain water. You say, well, what is she talking about? What has that got to do with God? when we get into the secret place with God, into the closet, there starts to be a change. And the fragrance from these flowers infuse into that water and change it, never to be the same again. So I realized that in my own strength and ability, I am a grumpy old woman. That's true. You used to see me in the mornings. That's how I try to get to God, get with God before I get out of my bed. I am grumpy. I've got flesh. We've got flesh, haven't we? And we've got the Spirit of God. But when I get with God, I start to be transformed and changed. Now, God has shown me that sometimes we're just too busy. We haven't got the time. We go to meetings. We come to church. We want to hear a great preacher. But where the change comes is when we get close with God, when we are transformed and the fragrance of God becomes our nature. That water there, which we are, never to be the same again. We get transformed by that fragrance of God. You know, while we're in that place, I sat in my room the other day, my garden room. It's got windows out the back and it looks all fine until the sun comes out. And when the sun comes out, my gosh, I wouldn't let anybody in my house. It's disgusting. And it's like that when we get in the presence of God. And that's why sometimes we don't want to get in the presence of God, because that's how we see how dirty and wretched we are. And it's not so we feel condemned, because God said, there is therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So why does he want us to come in there to make us feel bad? No, it's so that we can say, Lord, oh my gosh, look what's in there. I've got envy. Because the first thing I want to do when I see my windows are that dirty is clean them. And to lay those things down before him, not for us to feel bad, but for us to feel changed. You know, God says in Colossians 3:12, therefore, as the elect of God, as you guys, elect, chosen, special, set apart, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, God, which is the bond of perfection. Put on. When I get up in the morning, I put on clothes. I put them on because I do not want to leave here and walk in the streets naked. God wants us to put on him, put on Christ. And there is an easy, easy way. I'm just reading this book, a whole book this thick. This thick. I don't want to lie because I've heard about lying. This thick. It's this thick. Is that... it's all about the secret place, the secrets of the secret place. Well, when I first got into the secret place, man, was it boring. No, I'm going to tell you the truth. I need to tell you the truth, because when you get in there and you find it's boring, you're going to come straight back out. And I was waiting. I said, well, you know, I'm here then. Here I am. Because I wanted to hear from heaven. I wanted to hear from God. And each day I would go there. And you know, after time, you started to hear secrets from God. Not just revelations. But you know what? God is so kind and so loving. And this is the marvelous thing. When you get in that secret place, he's so kind to us. He's so gentle. He doesn't beat you with a stick because of all your issues. Because of all those things, because when he showed me and shone a light, because when we have fellowship with God, he's like a light in the darkness. You know, when you go into a room and it's not brightly lit, you don't see things too well. But when you get into the presence of God, you see things really well. You see everything that's dirty. And God wanted to show me. He, first of all, he builds me up. He talks to me about what he thinks of me. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. He wants to tell you how amazing and beautiful and what he thinks of you. He wants to tell you marvelous things. Do you know in here are some awesome, amazing people that are going to go on to do amazing and great things and are doing great things and to come into your full stature. I guarantee you, you will not reach that full stature without going into the secret place, without going into that quiet time with Jesus. Even all I challenge you is 15 minutes, maybe a day. Just 15 minutes. He wants to build you up first, and he's going to show you kindness and pour out his kindness upon you to the point where you will overflow and burst with your own kindness, and you'll no longer have to strive to love those people that are a challenge to you. You will no longer struggle to show them kindness because you will be bursting out and brimming, and you will be changed, never to be the same, to be healthy to others, to be a joy, to be refreshing to others, because that's what that drink is like. You'll all want it now. We'll sell your bottle, 10 quid. You know, a good man, out of good treasure of his heart, brings forth good, and an evil man, out of the treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. We heard that last week, didn't we? Because whatever is in our heart is going to come out. And when we spend time in the presence of God, he will start to transform you, to change you to the fragrance of himself. No longer striving to love those difficult, challenging, rude, bad-mannered, grumpy old women type people. It will become part of your nature. Now, as you've seen from Ephesians 4:32, I've only done half of the verse. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Any of you, tell you what, I love Andy's pictures. I love the whole balloon thing the other week. And some of you heard it about, going higher in Christ. If you today, some of you will go higher after hearing this, because some of you are going to get with Jesus, going to get with God, and you start to go higher, because that fire will start to fill your belly. That fire, because he's the breath of life. He's that fire. He shall make your balloon go higher. I found that amazing, hearing about that. Praise God. But I want to tell you also about forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. Now in Matthew 6:14-15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I just spend my whole time God just speaking to me. And I know sometimes, so we'll just take example, poor Adam sitting at the front. I know he likes to choose people that sit at the front. You're the only one there. So just imagine Adam's been very rude, a bit short. He hasn't had much sleep and he's a bit short with his comments. And I say, look at him then, God. Look at him. Yeah, bit rude, bit bad-mannered. I could hear God saying to me, aren't you sometimes bad-mannered? Aren't you sometimes rude? Aren't you sometimes short? Because that's the reality of us. The reason we don't see that is because we don't get into the presence of God. We sit there with our dirty windows, not allowing the sun to shine through, because we haven't got into the presence of God where the sun shines through to show us how we are. Then we'd have more grace. Because doesn't Christ have such grace for us? Isn't he so patient, slow to anger? I can't function without Christ. I can't function. Because if I don't have more of him, I can't exhibit all those beautiful things, the fruits of the Spirit. I have to get with Jesus, or I just remain a grumpy old woman. I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. We might say, well, doesn't deserve it. I haven't said anything to him. I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't been rude to him. He doesn't deserve it. Well, nor did we. Did we deserve Jesus forgiving us? Let's look at Matthew 18, 21 to 35. About the debtor. The parable of the unforgiving servant. And Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Do you know that's 490 times? I'm sure that each of us hasn't been rude maybe to one person 490 times. Maybe in marriage is a bit more challenging. Maybe 490 times there, maybe more. 490 times I've got to forgive Adam. You know, sometimes this is why you don't need to read your Bibles. I know some of you aren't reading your Bibles. You need to read your Bible. Because in here, when I read my Bible, that's when I find out how I'm really meant to be living, because it shines a light on my life. I realize I don't measure up. But when I have Christ in me, he measures up. When I put on Christ, I'm no longer naked. I'm putting on Christ. I'm putting on the fruits of the Spirit. I'm putting on kindness. I'm putting on humility. I'm putting on long-suffering. Therefore, verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. That the price be paid of his great debt. The servant fell down before him. Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved. The master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. But he would not, and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. And his master, after all, he had called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you this massive debt. He forgave him. He forgave him all those 10,000 talents. All that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you. From his heart does not forgive brother his trespasses. Man, that sounds harsh, doesn't it? But Jesus Christ died for every one of our sins. And if we were just to consider, no, I'm not asking you to do that, every one of the wicked, unkind, unreasonable, resentful, miserable things that we've done to other people, done to ourselves, it's a massive debt that Christ paid for us, and he didn't have to, and we didn't deserve it. And then we grab hold of our brother and sister and say, you've been rude. I'm not going to speak to you. You have been so rude, so unkind. I wasn't unkind to you. But God isn't asking us to forgive those people that deserve it because he didn't. When we're clothed in Christ, it gives us the ability to do it. But he's saying to us, forgive in Matthew. But if you do not forgive, Christ can't forgive us. That's why we're giving over to the torturers. It's not because God gives us over to torture, literal torturers. It's because it will torture us. Could you just imagine me every single day walking around with Adam on my back? That's funny, isn't it? The weight of that, only because I'm small, not because... Cut that bit out. Could you just imagine? And that's what it's like when we don't forgive people. We carry that around. And you know what else why God tells us to forgive? Because I tell you what a miserable life we walk around with bitterness and resentment. We can't look at them. We don't want them in our space because of what they've done. What they've done? They were just a bit rude. I want you to look at something. I want you to look at this. I went online and had a look at what a denarius was. Okay, so a denarius is a day's wages. Okay, and the man who threw the other man into prison for 100 denarios is 100 days wages. One talent is 6,000 denarii, which would take you 16 years to earn. So 10,000 talents is 60 million denarii, which would take you 160 years wages. Guess what? For us to pay back the debt of our sin, we wouldn't live long enough. And yet we want to hold on to somebody for 100 days, longer than that, and hold people, you owe me. No, somebody said, somebody's got to pay. Adam's got to pay. For his own, Christ's got to pay. Christ paid. He already paid the price for him. In Christ or out of Christ, Christ already paid. He paid for those outside Christ and he paid for those inside Christ. You know, forgiveness is not pretending that the offence never happened. You know, I have been through some awful, awful things. I can't tell you all the awful, awful things. My family's here. But if any of you ever want to hear some of my stories, you are welcome. And you don't forget about some really, really awful things that you go through in life. Something is a challenge to forget those. But you can make a choice to forgive. Because Christ is commanding, he's telling us, forgive. He's telling us to do that. And so it's not pretending that what the person did to you, and some of you might have gone through some really awful, awful things in your life and wonder how on earth you are going to forgive the perpetrator of those things. But God isn't saying that it didn't mean that it didn't hurt, it didn't damage you, it didn't destroy you, it didn't affect your character, it's not still affecting your character. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I want you to let go. There was two Greek words. I'm not really a Greek scholar, that I couldn't pronounce either of them, and I didn't even bring them. Two different Greek words for forgiveness in the Bible, and one of them uses the word let go. Now, I did a literal, I was really struggling with a massive offense that was done against me that just broke my heart, damaged me. I couldn't even explain how it broke me to the ground. It was so painful and so hurtful, and I didn't know how I was going to forgive the person. I didn't know how I was going to do that. Because I knew God told me that I need to do that. But I didn't know how I was going to do it. And I started off by making a boat. I'm simple, you'll find I'm very childlike. I built a boat. And on my little boat, I made it out of bits of wood and string wrapped up. It was more of a raft, actually. I didn't build a boat at all. It's that lying thing again. I'm exaggerating. I built a raft. Thanks, Lord. See, I told you he speaks to me all the time. You built a raft. And on that raft, I attached those things that... This was the beginning of my journey, because this journey didn't happen overnight. For big offences, okay, so I'm not telling you, you've got to go home and... It's a journey sometimes for big offences. I'm not comparing the size of them, but you know, somebody being rude and somebody abusing you over a period of time, they're different in how you manage them, okay? So I did this boat, and I put all the stuff I needed to forgive in my boat. And then I went to the river and I let go of my boat to go down the river. I waved goodbye to my boat because I made a choice to forgive. I made a choice because it's making the choice because God told me. Because in obedience, I made that choice. And, you know, the healing and the healing of the hurt didn't come straight away. And even if the perpetrator has no remorse and doesn't say sorry, we still need to forgive. And sometimes it can feel impossible. And with this thing, it wasn't a one-off boat. That was the beginning. I had to forgive loads more times. And it doesn't mean, forgiveness doesn't mean I've got to be best buddies with somebody that's abusive, that mistreats us. You don't have to be best friends with them or that keeps going over the same thing and mistreating you. No, that's not what God's saying. He's asking us to let go. He's not saying it didn't matter what happened to you. He wants us, because he is the judge, to judge. He wants to be allowed to be the righteous judge. Just nip back just a minute. For David didn't do anything to Saul. And Saul wanted to kill him. And it was out of jealousy. Some of you have jealousy in here. Wanted to kill a man over it. Because they said, oh, Saul killed the 1,000. David killed the 10,000. And he was jealous and wanted to kill him over it. And one time, Saul was in a cave. And David came. And at that point, he could have killed him. Because he was in a vulnerable place. But God spoke to him through his word and he said, touch not mine anointed. And even though he could have killed him, he was, well, in those times you could kill your enemy. He knew God had chosen that man. He'd anointed him. That's why God is calling us not to harm our brothers and sisters particularly, to forgive them particularly. Because God is saying, don't touch them. They're mine. And he's building up this big temple made of people, a cathedral. One of my favourite songs is a cathedral made of people in which God's going to put his Shekinah glory in. We heard that last year, didn't we? And David, he said to David, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Allow God to deal with the person's heart and their life and their sin. Allow God, because he's righteous. We have a bias towards those people that have hurt us. And what we feel, if we were allowed, what we would do to them is nobody's business. It says, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's what I've started to do. I've started to go back home. If any rude experience or bad experience I've had is to go back. Because if I don't pray for them and I don't bless them, how is there going to be a change? And God's spirit can start to move in their life. You know, through the hardships that I've been through, I'm not promoting this book because I didn't write it, but I read a whole book this size. I went like that size. Did you see that? Just on forgiveness. And guess who gave me it? My friend. Do you know what she said to me? She said to me, you've got bitterness. But you know what? Because I know she loves me, she can say that to me. Because sometimes we say, oh, I'm just going to tell these people in love. No, how about you love them first? And then usually you can go tell them something after. Because when they know that you're for them, you can tell them anything. Because they know that you're up there holding a banner with their name on it. And I knew she had a banner with my name on it and she wanted the best for me. She told me I had bitterness. I read can you imagine? There's a whole book on forgiveness. A whole book. What is in it? There's another book, if you're struggling with forgiveness, Road to Forgiveness. It's about this lady. My mind that I had to go through doesn't compare. This lady, her mother and her daughter were driving in a car and a drunk driver killed her mother and her daughter. than most people that she loved in all the world. And she had to journey through meeting this lady in a courtroom because she was being tried for having killed her mother and daughter through drink driving. And if you read the story, the end kind of, I'm making it all short, is that they forgive this woman for killing them, and this lady comes to Christ because of this great extension of forgiveness. And this lady, because she knew, this lady that had had it happen to her with her mother and daughter, she knew that they were up in heaven. They were up in heaven, they were believers, but this woman wasn't going to heaven. And they ministered to her such grace. And there's Amish grace. Watch it. If you're having a problem, watch it. I can't really cover all that I need to give about forgiveness today, because it's just huge. And all of you will be journeying through different things that have happened to you and experienced. Maybe some of you don't have a parent here. They were never in your life. And you need to let go of that. And you know, there are places you can go as well. You can go to LL. I've been to LL. I've been for counselling. And I've been to Joe Norton, I've been everywhere. Because, you know, I just didn't want to have that stuff all in my heart because it was ugly. I just didn't want it there. I want to be kind. I want to bear fruits so that people can eat of my fruits and that I can share those with people. Praise God. You know, what God forgave us from was a huge debt. Huge. He extended kindness towards us. I'm just asking you today, spend time in the presence of God. He wants to build you up. He wants to say beautiful things of kindness to your heart. Because you know what? Because I've spent time with God, I see beautiful things in each of you. Beautiful, beautiful things. You're like a painting that hasn't been finished. And I can see, you know, artists can see the end product. They can. I quite often see pictures finished, but I can't paint them. And that's what each of you are. You're beautiful works of art that God has made. You're unfinished. And when you have a heart of God, you want to help people get to that fullness. So I just encourage you today, get into the presence of God. Be built up. Be changed, because then you'll be kind, then you'll be long-suffering, then you'll be all those beautiful things. And let go of those things. Forgive your brothers and sisters. Forgive those that have hurt you. Let go of those and allow God into your heart to heal your heart from all that pain. We don't deserve it. All that he's given for us, but let's extend the hand as they did there, because that kindness comes all the way back from Christ to people, back through to Christ, and it just goes on, and it's beautiful. And that's it. Praise God.